Let's bow for a word of prayer. If you wouldn't mind bowing your head and closing your eyes and silently from your heart, would you pray to the Lord? Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Lord, please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your spirit or completely controlled with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Say something nice to the person sitting next to you if someone is sitting next to you, and then you can be seated. Now, this is the results of a survey. It's actually a pretty dated survey. It's a good ways back. I figure the numbers have probably even gotten worse. But in the 1960s, listen to this. In the 1960s, 65% of Americans said they believed the Bible is true. 65%. Today, and this is somewhat dated information, I figure it's just worse today, but today that figure has dropped to 32%. 32%. Even more dramatically, listen to this. Today, 67% of all Americans, 67% of all Americans deny that there's any such thing as truth. Wow. That's amazing. 67% deny that there's even truth. 70% say there are no moral absolutes. You know, even Pilate struggled a little bit with this. Do you remember when Jesus was before Pilate? Now, Pilate, he was an up and inner, right? He was like a governor of the area. He was judging Jesus. He struggled with truth. Listen to these verses. I'm just going to read them to you. As Pilate was the one that tried Jesus just before the crucifixion. Said, Pilate therefore said unto him, that's Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, listen to this, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And you know how Pilate responded? Pilate says, what is truth? You know, I believe within every one of us, there's a desire to know what truth is. Y'all agree with that? I mean, how many of you here want to know what truth really is? Now, we have the answers already, ultimately, in the Word of God. But we're in this sermon series, Personal Values of the Local Church. Personal Values of the Local Church. You know, I really believe the church has been much maligned. And it's getting worse. I mean, some people out and out hate the church and want to destroy the local church. And even among God's people, it's neglected in many circles, the local church. Can you imagine if all of those that profess to know Jesus in the Clarksburg area made up their mind that they were going to go to church? Can you imagine? The churches would be like, whoa, where did all these people come from, right? So the reason I think God gave me this sermon series on the personal value of the local church, I think without the local church, you and I would be so much more poor, if you will, or poorer in our lives and in our walk with God without the local church. So what does the church really mean to us? Today we're going to be talking about, in particular, the local church provides a stronghold or an anchor of truth. A stronghold or an anchor of truth. If you raise your hand and say, I want to know truth. Well, the local church ought to be a place that you can find that truth. Now, I understand that there's a lot of churches who are not preaching and teaching the truth. I get that. But I'm speaking of a church that stands on the Word of God. You ought to be able to come and say, boy, isn't that the truth? And you ought to be able to say, amen, so be it, because your local church is standing for what really is truth. And we ought to appreciate that. Without truth in our life, won't we be a lot like a ship without an anchor? I mean, we'll just kind of be floundering out there. No way to put down our anchor. No way to go where we want to. It's just like, whoa. And a lot of people are like that, because if that's true, and I figure the numbers are a lot worse, 67% of Americans say there is no such thing as truth. But when I come to church, I want to hear my church preach and teach truth, don't you? And we are an anchor. God has placed that. We're going to be looking at this in quite a bit of detail today about the local church. But I really hope that God stirs in our heart a love for the local church. Not just a tolerance of the local church. Well, I'm supposed to go to church, so maybe I better go to church. But it ought to be, boy, I love the local church. I love what it does for me. It has lots of personal values for me. And today, as we look at, I love the fact that I can find the truth in this local church. And we're going to be looking at that. We've already looked at two parts of this sermon series, personal values of the local church. The first one was the local church provides us support in life, a sense of belonging, and sincere love. The second part, part two, the local church provides us a place to be useful and serve. This morning, the local church provides us a stronghold or an anchor of truth. I am thankful for that today. We'll be looking at a lot of scripture unless the Lord tells me to cut some of it out, but we got a bunch of scripture verses today we'll be looking at. The first point under the local church provides us a stronghold or an anchor of truth. First of all, the church universal, and therefore the local church is built upon the truth. Let me say that again. First of all, the church universal, that church universal, I don't particularly like that term, but it's about the best one I can come up with, and a lot of people use that term. The church universal speaks of all the people that have been truly born again. And we're part of the same body of Christ. Everybody with me on that? Just give me a little nod. Now, you might need to put your thinking cap on a little bit today. Remember how they used to say in the lower grades of elementary, now put your thinking caps on, right? And so you may have to put your thinking caps, because we're going to cover a fair amount today. And some of them are just like truths and facts that we put into our brain. But I want you to listen really close. The church universal. The church universal, all those that are saved, and therefore the local church representative of all those that are saved, it's built. They are built upon the truth. You know, the truth that Jesus is the Christ, that is, the Son of the living God. First of all, they're built upon the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read several verses, point out just a thing or two about it, all right? The church universal, and therefore the local church, is built upon the truth, or at least should be. Matthew 16, verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, Jesus speaking to his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you think that I am? Simon Peter didn't always get it right, but he got it right here. He says, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did he say? He says, Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God. Now, can a person be saved without accepting Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, and the Son of God? Absolutely not. But listen what Jesus said to his answer. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou. You're blessed. This is good. Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So God gave you insight into who I am. Now listen to this. And I say unto thee, also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now there's been a lot of misunderstanding about this verse, all right? When he talks to Peter, he said, Thou art Peter, a little stone. You know, the kind you might want to pick up and hit somebody with? You know, little one. You don't want to hurt them too bad. You just want to get their attention. So you are Peter, stone, little tiny stone. But it says upon this rock, like a cluster of rocks, a big rock, I will build my church. So, if you're honest with yourself and look at this passage, he's not talking about building the church upon Peter. Let me tell you, if the church, now upon the apostles and the teaching of the apostles, that was a good thing. It talks about in another place the foundation of the apostles and the people and what they taught. Absolutely. But if the church was built upon Peter, we're in a heap of trouble. Because Peter, as I said, he got it right here, but a lot of places he didn't. If you even look a little bit further down in that chapter, he didn't get it right. When Jesus is saying, you know what, I'm going to leave this world, I'm going to give the ultimate sacrifice. Oh, no, Lord, that can't be. If the church is built upon him, we're in trouble. What happened at the leading up to the crucifixion? What did Peter do? He denied the Lord three times. If the church is built upon Peter, we're in trouble. Church is not built upon Peter. It says upon this rock. Now, that leaves you with the question then, what is the rock that the church is built upon? What is the rock? Now, some would say Jesus, and that's not a bad answer. That's a good answer. But looking back at the conversation, I believe that the rock is the truth that he's just shared. The confession, the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, that's what a church, that's even what a local church is built upon, right? That profession that Jesus Christ is indeed the Savior, and he's the Son of the living God. Is there an amen out there?
Amen.
That was pretty pathetic. Is there an amen out there? If you don't improve in your amens, I'm going to point one of you to be over the amen section, okay? And it's going to be a huge responsibility, but I'm sure that you can handle it. Talking about the church universal, therefore the local church is built upon the truth. And that truth, I believe, is found in the confession of Simon Peter, that rock, that confession that says Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when I ask you that question, some of you answered out loud, and you're right. Secondly, what is the truth the church is built upon? The truth of Jesus himself. The truth of Jesus himself. Now, you can't really separate the confession too easily from the person of Jesus, but what did Jesus say in John 14:6? Do you remember? Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, here it is, say it with me, the truth, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, Jesus calls himself the truth. Also, John 1:17 It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and, what's that word? Truth. Say it out loud. Truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, the church universal, and therefore this local church and all local churches that are proclaiming the truth of God's word, they're built upon the truth that Jesus is indeed the Savior. And they're built upon the truth of Jesus himself. Do you know Jesus never told a lie? You know, as a little kid, wouldn't you love to have been his brother or sister? You know, when they say, well, you need to be more like Jesus. That'd be pretty... I mean, at least if we were compared to someone, we were compared to someone who was fallible. But these brothers in particular and sisters were compared to Jesus, and he was perfect. He never told a lie. Everything about him, everything that he stood for, everything that he did in life was truth. And I'm thankful that the local church is built upon the truth. You say, I want to know what truth is. Maybe your question is like Pilate. The truth is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The truth is Jesus, by his very nature, is truth himself. We're talking today on the topic, personal values of the local church. Specifically, the local church provides us a stronghold or anchor of truth. The point we just looked at, the church universal and therefore the local church is built upon the truth. A.W. Tozer, he lived from 1897 to 1963. You may have heard that name before. He was a preacher. He was a writer. And I found out a little bit of truth when I was finding the years that he lived. Do you know the first church, A.W. Tozer? And among most Christians, if you mention A.W. Tozer, they're like, oh, yeah, I've heard it. I've at least heard of him. The first church, according to Wiki, that he pastored was a storefront church over in Nutter Fort, West Virginia. So I need to do a little bit of research on that, but I thought that was pretty interesting. But you know what? He made this statement. He says, the unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. Can anybody vouch for that? The unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. And then he goes on to say, the heart, and I would say the church, it would fit in there just as well, the church that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a theological wilderness. Think about that. You know, the church, if it's built upon truth, and if untruth, you see, our church is very strong on what we believe. We make no apologies for it. I mean, that's the way the Constitution was when we got here. It says, we believe this, we believe this, we believe this. This church also has, when someone comes into membership, to agree that they, and even sign something, and we agree with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all, because the church, the local church, is built upon the truth. And it's the responsibility of the church. You know, every once in a while, some new fad comes out, you know, something kind of off the wall a little bit. There's nothing wrong with the local church. We'll get into this a little bit later, too. There's nothing wrong. It's actually a great responsibility of the church based upon the Word of God. And the preachers and teachers and the leaders of the church say, you know what, that's false. That's not right. That's not biblical. We don't stand on it. You know, at one time, this has been a number of years back, there was the idea of this holy laughter stuff. And people, you know, supposedly they'd be captivated by the Holy Spirit, and they would just chuckle and laugh, and they'd fall out of their seat and roll in the aisles and goofy stuff like that. Let me tell you, I might get tickled every once in a while, but I've never experienced any of that holy laughter where I start rolling around in church. Now, that's a time for a church to stand up. If we're built upon the truth of Jesus as the Savior and build upon the truth of who Jesus actually is, every once in a while, you need to look around and say, that's error. That's falsehood. That's not biblical. We're not going to do that, or else you're going to end up with a wilderness with a whole hodgepodge of people who are so confused because you're not pulling in the same direction in this tug of war, if you will, with the world. You see, the church is very valuable. And the church that you choose should be very built, very serious about the truth and standing on the truth. You know, really, as a child of God, I'll say this won't cost you any extra because I hadn't planned on saying this. But really, when you hear things that are not true, you ought to be mature enough as a child of God that you say, something about that just doesn't sound right. You may not be able to put your finger on it immediately, but you're like, because you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Hello? Y'all got the Holy Spirit living inside of you if you know Jesus as your Savior, right? And there's three parts to the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus is fully truth, guess what? God the Father is fully truth, and God the Holy Spirit is fully truth. So when you hear something, sometimes maybe you're listening to a preacher you may not be that familiar with, or even someone you are, and they're typically right, but they say something, you're like, ding, 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 ding. That doesn't sound right. That's the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the Word of God, comparing it to the truth and saying, that's just not right. You know, I call it sometimes when your dashboard light comes on. I enjoy driving a car that doesn't have a dashboard light on. Don't y'all? When that rarity occurs. But I enjoy that. But sometimes the dashboard lights of a child of God ought to go on. And sometimes even the dashboard light of the local church needs to go on and say, you know what? That's just not right. That's not biblical. I can't find it anywhere in Scripture. It's a man-made thing. I can tell you right now, there's no way I'm going to get through this message today. But we'll just go as far as we can, unplug it, and then we'll take it back up later, okay? Personal values of the local church. The Bible has so much to say about the church, it's really hard to even put it in a series. I really struggled with that. Like, wow, how do you... But we're going to do the best we can. First of all, the local church provides us a stronghold or an anchor of truth. Under that, point number one, the church universal and therefore the local church is built upon the truth. Secondly, under that main point that the local church provides us a stronghold or an anchor of truth, the church is the support or bulwark of truth. It's not only the support of, but it's also the bulwark or the wall of protection of the truth. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. A similar thought of a lot of things I've already said, but the church is the support of the truth or the bulwark or the wall for protection of the truth. Find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, you see, Paul is writing to Timothy, okay? And Timothy is the pastor of the Ephesian church. And Paul is older. He's been there, done that. When I've done some research in the past, I finally figured out, I think Paul was probably in like his 60s. Timothy was probably in his 30s. So you're talking about someone that's been there, done that, kind of mentoring the younger pastor, Timothy. And he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. So he's going to address how do you behave yourself in the house of God. The church is likened to a house, okay? Can I tell you this? This may be a misunderstanding too. Do you know the local church of Oak Mound is not this? You know that? I'm going to go off the screen here for a minute. This local church is not block walls. Do you know that? The church are not these seats or the carpet or the communion table. Do you know what the local church is? It's the people. It's the people. Some people get all that confused. They're like, oh, now we call this the church and God has blessed us with the buildings and the facilities that we have. But in reality, the local church are the people in the church, right? And it likens it to a household here. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now notice this. It's talking about the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And then what does it say about the church of the living God? the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Now that's big, right? So the church and the local church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Can I tell you that your life will not be lived fully in the truth apart from the local church? Let's try that again. Can I tell you that you will never be all that God wants you to be and live your life in full truth apart from the local church? You see, the local church, it says, is the pillar and ground, it says, of the truth. I most concisely would define this, that the local church is the support or the bulwark or the wall of defense for the truth. Now, let me tell you, clearly the universal church, everybody that's saved, and clearly this local church has a bunch of sinners in it. That's not a trick question or even a criticism. It's just the truth. And the guy behind this pulpit is a sinner, right? And we are capable of doing imperfect things, right? So we're not saying that the local church, I'm going to get up here. You know what? I've been thinking about this, y'all. And I ate way too much pizza last night. And I was up half the night, kind of sick and kind of, God gave me a vision. And I'm going to establish some new truth, okay? So every time y'all come into church, as part of the truth that we stand for, I want you to come up here and knock on that communion table four times. Because God revealed that to me. Now that's goofy, isn't it? That's goofy. So this verse is not saying that fallible human beings are going to establish new truth. The idea is the local church is supposed to stand for the truth that we've already received in the Word of God. Now, don't say that's a no-brainer or whatever, because some people, some churches are establishing new truth, supposedly. And the leadership is trying to establish new truth. Let me tell you, we don't have the authority to establish new truth, but we are supposed to be a support or a foundation of the truth that we've already received. Now, does that make sense? Now, to me, that's a huge blessing of the local church. A church that's built upon the foundational truth that Jesus is Savior. A church that's built upon Jesus Himself and His very nature. And a church that says, you know what? We're going to stand behind the truth. We're going to stand for the truth. We're going to shout for the truth, and it doesn't matter who opposes us, we're standing on the truth. Let me tell you, has every church stuck to that? You know, there used to be a law, and again, I'm not throwing stones. You know me. I'm not one to be that critical of other people, but when there's error, right? And a lot of churches, you say, we're standing on firm on the truth. We're standing on God's word. They used to have people probably behind these pulpits that used to say that. But you know what's happened? They've wandered from the truth. In a sense, they've become a hodgepodge. They don't stand for anything anymore. I mean, in some of these churches, I would hesitate to even call some of them churches, because if you're not standing upon the truth, are you a true church? And people have led experience in life. I've heard this before. Now, there's lots of sins we can be involved in. But, you know, it's amazing to me that I've heard people say who were Christian, they were like, you know what? Homosexuality goes against the Bible. But you know what? They have someone in their family admit that they're now a homosexual. And all of a sudden, that truth has shifted in that person's mind. And sometimes they say, well, I believe. Now, you're always in trouble when you hear this. I know what the Bible says, but. I mentioned that in Sunday school today. I know what the Bible says, but. Whenever you put that but in there, you and I are in a bunch of trouble. And they've shifted in their view of truth. Can I tell you, the Word of God did not shift. And see, if you have individuals that start to do that, we've had churches do that too. And they'll stand. And Ryan, one thing he said about the churches in D.C. Now, there's something I heard somewhere along the line that there's a gazillion churches in D.C. I mean, really, a huge amount. You'd think he was in the Bible Belt of the South. They used to call Chattanooga. We lived in Chattanooga. We lived there 8.5 years. They used to call Chattanooga, and there were a lot of ministries there and a lot of churches, the buckle of the Bible Belt. You know, the buckle. So you'd think that, you know, wow. But D.C. has a bunch of churches, but so many of them have wandered from the truth. And they're flying the gay pride flag out there. You know, and they wouldn't be a stand on, well, you're either a man or you're a woman. You're either male or you're female. That's what God made you. And whatever you are is what you are. And if you want to change that, you're just in for trouble. And things like that. And marriage is between one man and one woman. For life is God's intention, right? So they've wandered from the truth, and they don't know the truth from a hole in the wall anymore. And a lot of those churches used to stand. You say, why is it important that a church stand on the Bible? Now, this will offend a lot of people, right? I've said many times, I would love for every homosexual in the county of Harrison, Doddridge, why not throw in Marion County? Why not throw in all these bordering counties? I'd love to see every one of them come to church here. Hear the word of truth, the Bible, and get right with God. Amen? So we love them, absolutely. But when we bend the truth to oblige someone, we're no longer standing on the truth. And see, that's one of the responsibilities of a local church, is to stand on the truth. And so many churches have abandoned the truth. I guess I'd expand that to say I want every person who's confused about their gender to come and be at church here at Oakmount. Again, hear the truth of God's word preached and taught and get right with God. I'd like for everyone who is transgendered, let's say, come to church. Hear the truth of the word of God that we are standing on as a local church and get right with God. Wouldn't you? You see, the local church, what a blessing. What a blessing that you don't have to come, really, and wonder whether you're going to hear a Sunday school lesson on truth or a sermon on the truth. And I firmly tell you, if you think I'm not preaching the truth, you come to me and say, preacher, I don't think that's right. And I'll show you from God's word. And best as I know, I'm preaching the word of God. I'm not preaching opinions. I'm not preaching current events. But I'm preaching the truth of God's word. There's no better place to stand than on the truth of God's word. And I'm thankful that my whole life I've been in churches that were standing on the truth. But let me tell you, today that's an exception. That's not the majority of churches. Most churches are compromising the truth of the Word of God. But the Bible clearly says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that our job as a church is to be a support or a bulwark or a wall of protection or a foundation or a pillar of truth. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this church, aren't you? I found a couple of illustrations to kind of let you know how bad it could be to not be standing for truth. The story is told that once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. "What did he find?" asked the cohort. "A piece of truth," the devil replied. "A piece of truth." The cohort asked, "Doesn't it bother you that he just found a piece of truth?" "No," said the devil. "Doesn't bother me at all. I'll see to it that he makes it a religion out of it. I'll see to it that he makes a religion out of that piece of truth." You see, there's a lot of religions out there that are taking a piece of truth, even perhaps from the Word of God, just one little piece of truth, but they built a wrong theology all around. let me tell you, I could take the Bible. I remember in seminary they had a book that we read called Scripture Twisting. Scripture Twisting. You know, I could take an element of truth from any verse and twist it to mean about whatever I wanted it to mean. I thought this was kind of enlightening too. It says, two men had an argument to settle the matter. They went to a judge for arbitration. The plaintiff made his case. He was very eloquent and persuasive in his reasoning. When he finished, the judge nodded in approval and said, "That's right, that's right." On hearing this, the defendant jumped up and said, "Wait a second, judge, you haven't even heard my side of the case yet." So the judge told the defendant to state his case. And he too was very persuasive and eloquent. When he finished, the judge said, "That's right, that's right." When the clerk of the court heard this, he jumped up and said, "Judge, they both can't be right." The judge looked at the clerk of the court and said, "That's right, that's right." You know, related to this whole point that we've made about the church is the support, the bulwark of the truth. Not everybody's right. Not everybody is right. We, according to God's word here at Oakmount, we need to continue to stand on the word of God. You see, when it's popular, stand on the word of God. When it's not popular, stand on the word of God. Even when the world says we're goofy, we're crazy, we're narrow, we're bigoted, we still need to stand upon the truth of the Word of God. Even when Christians grumble because that preacher, he must have something against me because I think he was preaching right at me today. You know, even when that happens, you and I, we got to stand on the truth of the Word of God. And you and I today, we should appreciate, as we look at the personal values, what does the church, the local church, mean to me? First of all, the church is built, the local church is to be built upon the truth that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of the living God. And it's built upon Jesus himself. You know, this is Jesus' church. He is the shepherd. I'm simply the under-shepherd. But it must be built upon that truth. And you and I in the local church, I hope you appreciate that this church is trying. Again, we're fallible human beings. But this church is trying to be a stalwart or an anchor of the truth. And when you come, it's not like, well, one Sunday I'm going to preach this way, next Sunday I'm going to preach this way. And the Sunday school teacher, I don't know, he confuses me. One day he said this was wrong, and then the next Sunday he said this was right. And I'm thankful, and I hope you are too, for a church who is trying its best to stand on the truth of God's word. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. If you're here today and you're a child of God, you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, would you take just a moment and answer this question? Do you value the local church the way that you should? Do you value even this local church, Oakmount, the way that you should? And if you do, praise the Lord. If God is saying, you know what, you could value and treasure this local church a little bit more. Or if you're here today and you've just not really thought much about it, would you pause and just thank the Lord in your heart in prayer to God right now that Oak Mound stands on the truth of God's word? That this church stands upon the truth of God's word. Secondly today, if you're here and you'd have to say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior." Maybe you're listening in today by live stream. And you'd say, no, I've never been saved. Can I encourage you? Would you be saved today by the truth of the gospel? truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is that Jesus, the Son of God, came, was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life, and then he died upon the cross to pay for your sins and my sins. And then he resurrected back to life. That's the gospel. And you can be saved by trusting that that is true, that that really happened. So if you're here today, I'd encourage you, I'll be somewhere around front. If you're not sure you're saved or you're sure that you're not saved, would you come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to get that nailed down." Or if you're listening in today, you know, right wherever you are, you can be saved by the truth of the gospel. You can call out to God in prayer, either out loud or from your heart, and say, "God, I'm a sinner. I've failed you many times. I've done lots of things against you. Would you forgive me of my sins?" And would you tell him in prayer, "I believe Jesus really was the Son of God who died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life." And would you say to God and mean it from your heart, "Lord, I confess Jesus as my Savior." And if you do that wherever you are, mean that from your heart, you can be saved wherever you are. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the truth that is Jesus. We thank you for that foundational truth that the church is built upon, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Savior and the Son of God. We praise you for that and the truth of who you are. Lord, I pray that you'll move in the invitation. If there's anyone here lost today, that they'll be saved. If there'll be any Christian here today that has any reason at all, they want to come to the altar. Perhaps to rededicate their heart and life to you. Perhaps just to thank you for the local church here at the altar. Or whatever prayer concern they may have, let everyone know that the altar is open. Lord, as we sing this song, Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.